Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This coming weekend, we get a chance to celebrate an important day in our nation. It's the 4th of July, Independence Day. It's not just about parades, cookouts, and fireworks. It's a day where we celebrate the birth of our nation. It's a day when the people of the United States of America are to celebrate our independence from the rule and the reign of Great Britain. In 1776, our founding fathers asked, in many more eloquent words than these, "Who are you to say? Who are you to say that we should be taxed excessive amounts for goods? Who are you to say that we need to worship in a certain way? Who are you to say that we can't bear arms? Who are you to say that we can't gather together peacefully? Who are you to say that we can't speak critically about those in authority over us? Who are you to say, O King, that you should have any say in our lives in this new land where we are fully capable of ruling ourselves?" Whether the cause was just or not, we'll let the historians debate, but we can be sure of this, that our nation was founded on a desire to be independent from the rule and the reign of a king who lived over the sea and whose authority was questioned, challenged, and ultimately rejected. You could rightly go as far to say that as a nation, we are a rebellious and an independent people. A nation founded on independence produces a people of independence. At times, this is a really good thing. At other times, it can cause all sorts of problems for us. From those who are at the top of society to those who we might see or the world would see as the lowest, the question that comes up over and over again is, who are you to say? The question comes up as we question, challenge, and oftentimes reject the authorities that come up in our lives. I have to say that this problem isn't really a national problem at all. It isn't founded in any political system or even in our national history. It's embedded in our humanity. It's common to all people that we take comfort and find security when someone in authority works on our behalf or gives us what we think that we need or protects us from harm. But boy, when someone exercises authority over us or tries to impose limits on our freedoms, we don't like it at all. Universally, we have a problem with authorities. See, humans want to be free from authority. And such is the history of humanity illustrated in the Holy Scriptures. We see both God's authority and we see our rebellion. With his authoritative word, God called creation into existence from nothingness. With his authoritative word, God placed man and woman in the midst of his creation to reflect his image as they live dependent upon each other and as they live dependent on their creator. With his authorized word, God placed limits on his creation, setting boundaries that they were not authorized to cross. With a single act of rebellion, with a hand that grasped that which was not authorized to hold, the whole human race was plunged into a war of independence from God and sought to be free from him. Eating that which was forbidden became a declaration whereby the sons and the daughters of Adam and Eve would attempt to live independent from God, and as an unintended consequence, live independent from one another. The price of this treason was death. Death whereby the soul would live independently apart from the body, and death whereby the body and soul would dwell apart from the Creator in a place reserved for the serpent Satan, the very king of treason. All this because Adam and Eve brought the lie that caused them to question, who are you to say? And so it is with us. Humanity steeped in sin and rebellion produces a people who are by nature sinful and unclean. From early on, we test authority, rebelling against parents and teachers and others placed in authority over us. From early on, we want freedom. Every time you've challenged your parents by saying, who are you to say, you have challenged God, who gave you your parents and put them in authority over you. Every time you disregarded God's commandments, you rebel against his authority. Every time you try to live free and independent of God and the neighbors that he has given you, you are in effect saying to the king, who are you to say? This rebellion must be stopped. Humanity was never created to live independently or free from the Creator. Humanity was never created to live in independent isolation from one another. Humanity was never intended to live free from loving or serving others. Yet this is the result of our power grab, our quest for independence, our desire for freedom from God, our sin. It's warfare against the will of the Creator, and it's a rebellion that must be put down. But like many wars, once it's begun, it's not so easy to end. In fact, on our own, we are incapable of stopping it. We're unable to lay down our arms and end the assault. The Creator himself must end it, because he is the only one who has the authority to do so. He is the one who has the power and the authority to either squash the rebellion or to pardon the guilty. He is the only one who is able to truly set us free. A freedom defined by God is never a freedom from God, or a freedom from authority, or a freedom from our neighbors, or a freedom from our responsibilities. The only freedom from that God brings about is a freedom from our sinful nature that results in a traitor's death. That freedom comes about as Christ himself drags you out of the kingdom of Satan and sets you under his own gracious rule and reign. But I ask you, what's the cost of that freedom? You've heard the expression, freedom isn't free. Well, indeed, it's not. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young wrote a song called Find the Cost of Freedom, which was, oddly enough, a protest song for the Vietnam War in the 70s. The lyrics were set to a somber tune, which goes, Find the cost of freedom, buried in the ground. Mother Earth will swallow you, lay your body down. While the song originally was protesting the draft and the loss of life of young men, one might say that today it sums up the expression, freedom isn't free. Freedom comes at a high cost. A price is paid, and that price is blood. Life in service is given exchange for a life of freedom. When we were drafted into the battle of independence against our Creator and against our neighbor by our first parents, and while we were still living under the authority of Satan and his kingdom, God drafted plans to put an end to the warfare. He took up our flesh in the person of Christ Jesus. He lived obediently to the Father's will while in our flesh. As a man, as the perfect man, Jesus purchased our freedom by laying down his life. He was crucified on a cross made by the Romans. He was buried in a tomb for the Jews. He suffered your rebellion. God the Father's plan was that the earth would swallow up the Son of Man, the Son of God, and there the whole world would see the cost of freedom buried in the ground. Blood was shed, a life was given. And not just any blood or any life, but God's life for ours, Christ's life for yours. And like the bodies of countless soldiers in the past who still lay at rest in the ground, Christ Jesus is risen. He is not lifeless in the tomb, but living and reigning as the King of all creation. His resurrection is the first, and someday soon, those who have been laid to rest in the tomb in faith to Christ will rise to meet their King in a recreated body as the King gives it at his return. His life was given for you so that your life would be found in His. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. See, if you are in Christ, the war of independence from God has ceased, and you are set free to be His people, a people who understand what true freedom is. To be clear, true freedom is not license to live life however you see fit. No, that results in sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, as Paul said. Remember, these are the things that by nature we were enslaved to as we sought only to serve ourselves. No, true freedom, freedom in Christ, has to do with serving our neighbors in love. That love was shown to us in the midst of our rebellious war of independence. Love that was enfleshed in the person and the work of Jesus. As a result of Jesus loving you, patiently and joyfully serving you to bring you His peace, showing you the kindness of the Father in all gentleness and in perfect self-control, now you and the power of the Spirit are set free to do likewise. You are free to bear the fruit of the Spirit for the benefit of your neighbor. You are free to live as God has intended you to live in faith to God, to live in love for your neighbor, because Jesus has paid the price of your freedom. He has rescued you from your slavery to self, to sin, to Satan. You are His as you live in His kingdom, under His gracious rule and reign, and under His authority. Now, by the Spirit, instead of saying, who are you to say, you thank the Lord, you sing His praise, and you tell everyone what He has done. And that is that He has given His life in loving service for you, so that you may live in service for others. The Son has paid the cost of your freedom. You are free indeed. So stand firm in your freedom. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the one who has set us free. Amen.